see if we could try to go through some of the Rashi Prachim in terms of the Tefillas Hayom of Yom Kippur, and then kind of wrap things up in terms of this part of our Lima. By next week, we'll try to get to some Hilchos Chanukah, a little bit more Neder Diyam oriented. The Gemara tells us at the end of Maseches Yuma that on the Mincha of Yom Kippur is unique, that we recite Vidui. Chazal were Masachin to recite Vidui during that Mincha. Why were they Masachin Vidui? I understand that you say Vidui on Yom Kippur, but why are you saying it on Yom Kippur? So the Gemara says, because it would be really chaval if a person didn't, they made it so far, and then they collapsed before the finish line. They don't quite make it to Yom Kippur. Why don't they make it to Yom Kippur? So the Machlagis have shown him. So some said that we're afraid that the person may, when he's eating the Siddur Mafsekes, so he's gonna choke. He won't have a chance to be chayzer b'tshuva properly. So therefore, they were masachet to daven mincha and say vida before the Siddur Mafsekes. And other Rishonim write their phrase, he's going to get drunk in the Siddur Mafsekes. It's quite a chashash. That's his last thing on his mind. Right before Yom Kippur, he's going to get drunk, so he'll be out of it. He'll be gone when it comes to Yom Kippur time, so he won't say vida properly. So therefore, chazal masachet, and not only do you say vida erev Yom Kippur, you dafka time the vida to be dafka before the Siddur Mafsekes. So the bottom line is that the first of the tefillos of Yom Kippur, the first of the viduyim already are found on erev Yom Kippur. So this idea that we recite vidui in general in Yom Kippur, it's the chiddush that we say it even by mincha, but the fact that we say vidui on Yom Kippur is really a chiddush. Like, why exactly? What is this all about? What's the nature of this halacha that we recite vidui on Yom Kippur? So there seems to be a machlokes in the Rishonim as to, is there a mitzvah hayom of Yom Kippur to be chayz b'tshuva? So we know that Yom Kippur is an opportunity to be chayz b'tshuva, but is it necessarily a formal mitzvah? Is necessary? We know tshuva is counted as one of the Tanya mitzvahs, and the Rambam writes that the mitzvah of tshuva requires to be mitzvadeh. How you word the mitzvah, whether the mitzvah is fundamentally tshuva with vidui, a component, whether the mitzvah is fundamentally vidui with tshuva, the prerequisite, that's really a lomdish question. But everyone agrees that you need some degree of tshuva belev, and you need a vidui bepeh, you need that whole picture in order to fulfill the mitzvah of the Tanya mitzvah of tshuva. So is tshuva on Yom Kippur mamshe mitzvah hayoyim? It's like the kishof rasham, like shaking a lulav and sukkahs, that's the mitzvah hayoyim. What would the source of that mitzvah hayoyim be? Lift Hashem to Torah, maybe. Maybe that would be like a chiyuv, you're mechuyuv to be mitar yourself, you're mechuyuv to be mechaper, to receive a kapar on Yom Kippur. Is that the pshat? Or is it pshat? No, it's not a chivas hayoyim. It's just an opportunity. Since the Maisa is a tshuva coming to an end, and Yom Kippur is the Zman of Kippur, the Yom Kippur is all the special minister Rachman, all the stuff that goes with Yom Kippur, so it would be foolish to squander the opportunity not to do tshuva. So it's a little bit unclear. The Rambam sounds like the latter. The Rambam writes in the tshuva that because Yom Kippur is sof keitz slichli Yisrael, therefore we recite vidui on Yom Kippur. The Rambam doesn't present it as mitzvah sesel esfat as biyom Kippur per se. And other Rishonim seem to say, no, there is some kind of a formal mitzvah of tshuva slichli vidui on Yom Kippur proper. And not so much enough. I mean, at the end of the day, we're going to do it anyway because that's what says the Machzor. So we're all going to say vidui on all the different tefillos of Yom Kippur, and again, including even Minchah of Yom Kippur for the Suda. There is a very ancient practice of reciting Kol Nidrei right before Yom Kippur begins, and the Rishonim are not exactly sure where this comes from. What is this based on? What is the goal of Kol Nidrei? So the Ran in the third Perek Maseches Nedarim quotes a question about this, that there was apparently a position that was held in the days of the Gaonim that they were of the opinion that Kol Nidrei is Ataras Nedarim, that we're afraid to go into the Yom HaDin with potentially a virus of Nedarim on our conscience. So therefore, we chick-chack, we go for a quick Ataras Nedarim and call it a day. So the Rabbi Natam had a lot of problems with this view of the Gaonim. So Rabbi Natam, it's a very quick fix, but it doesn't work. He says the Gemara has so many different parts, so many details about Ataras Nedarim. Ataras Nedarim requires either Pesach, Ataras Harota, the whole kind of series of dinim that play out in terms of doing a Ataras Nedarim properly. You have to explain why you did the neder. Don't just come tom to Beis Din and get out of jail free card with Ataras Nedarim. Half the Masech the Nedarim deals with how to be mounted Nedarim properly. So therefore, Rabbi Natam said he doesn't think that the Goyim's position is correct. He thinks that what Kol Nidrei is not a Hataras Adorim for the past, but rather it's a Maldor for the future. The Gemara says in the third break of Nadarim that if a person wants to ensure that none of his Nadarim will be chal in the upcoming year, So you should get up on Rosh Hashanah. You should say, "Well, Nedarim that I'm going to take should be batel mevuzel. Should be ma'aseh b'adah that all the Nedarim should be batel." So even though the Gemara has that phrase to say it on Rosh Hashanah, Yamadam Rosh Hashanah, Rabbi Natam says that in the days of the Middle Ages, more people came to shul Yom Kippur than came to Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, not everybody came to shul. Most people came, not everybody. Yom Kippur, who doesn't come to shul Yom Kippur? So therefore, the Rabbanim decided that we'll change the practice. The Gemara says the practice was a good idea on Rosh Hashanah. We'll change, shift it a little bit to Yom Kippur. But for Ikaron, the practice of Kol Nidre was Al Shema Osid, not Al Shema Ovar. So it's a big question whether it even works. This Modah that the Gemara has is a big, big, complicated sugi, the third Bekel Medarim. When it does work, it doesn't work, different opinions of the Rishonim. So Rabbi Tam said that it fundamentally works, and that's why we do it. The Paiskim are a little bit weird about it. The Paiskim have a guy, Mamish knows he took an absolute neder, the Chotaykev, that he should try to do a real Torah Shadam. He shouldn't rely on this Modah. Shlomo Zalman writes in a tshuva that for all the people who take all these kind of funny nadarm, they're not really nadarm. The guy was machped at this, machped at that, forgot to say blinet, all these kinds of funny, you know, hanogis tovis. So Shlomo Zalman says, we're not even sure any of those things are really binding, and if they're binding, so this Kondunir Pike takes care of those. So easy come, easy go. Again those are detailed shahs, those are fuchas nadarm. But the bottom line is that we do have the practice of saying Kol Nidre, and according to the Goyim, it was Al Shema Ovar, according to Ibn Hatam, it was Al Shema Asid. There is a minhag that we kind of stuck with, that is probably outdated a little bit. In the days of the Gaonim, they used to be makpit to say Kol Nidre before Shkia. Because the din is that you're not supposed to be matir and adarm and Shabbos and Yontif, Yom Kippur being Yontif for its purposes. You're not allowed to be matir and adarm unless it's the Tzara Chayom. So the Rabbanim were afraid that if we're going to say Kol Nidre, and we really believe like the Gaonim that Kol Nidre is our Torah's adarm, so you have to rush it up, you have to make sure to say it before Shkia. So some of the Rishonim defended the practice of even saying it after Shkia, because the Mishnah says in the end of Masechta Shabbos that Matir Nadarim L'Tzorcha Shabbos. Let's say a guy took a neder, he's not going to eat chuld. So that kind of a neder, he's allowed to be matir on Shabbos. It's L'Tzorcha Yom. A guy took a neder, he's not going to eat ice cream. So he's not going to eat ice cream anyway on Shabbos. So he can't be matir those Nadarim on Shabbos. But a neder that's L'Tzorcha Yom, you're allowed to be matir. So the Rosh writes that maybe that in the olden days they used to do a Kol Nidre even after Shkia. They weren't so machpid on this. They used to say Kol Nidre after Shkia, even though they held it was Ataras Nadarim, because they held that was all called the Tzorach Hayom, because the Tzorach is, I don't want to go into the Yom Kippur with me, but this guilty conscious, I don't want to have these Nadarim in my head. That was also Shtipel Tzorach Hayom. So again, in the days of the Gaonim, there were some who used to say Kol Nidre on after dark, and there were others who would be machpid say it before. The Chur, according to Rabbi Natam, there's no reason to rush up Kol Nidre. He said, it's not a Torah Sadar. It's a Modol Habo. So why can't make a Modol Habo on Shabbos and Yom Kippur? If you state that you can't make a Modol Habo. The Gemara says, Aum Rotel Shikon Adar V'Leyachulu Yamed Rosh Hashanah. Last we checked, Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, you're allowed to make a Modol Habo on Yom Tovim. So the Polsky right, yeah, the Minik stuck. And even though it's not really Hatar Sadarim, according to Rabbi Natam, but him calls that somehow became the practice in Klai Yisrael today. So we really follow Rabbi Natam. And our Nuscha Kol Nidre, we're much closer to Rabbi Natam than we are to the Gaonim. Because most Bachzar in print, Yom Kippurim Zad, Yom Kippurim Rabbah, Lein Latoiva. So that's what I'm sure Rabbi Natam's Lashon. In the Nuscha the Gaonim, it was Yom Kippurim Sha'avrad, Yom Kippurim Zad. Some of the newer Machzorim put the other phrase in brackets. Some Balei Tefillah say Yom Kippurim Shavar Ad Yom Kippurim Hazeh Ad Yom Kippurim Haba. It kills the nusach, kills the niggin, but some are machmir to say both versions tucked into ones. And most people just say whatever it says in the article says to say Yom Kippurim Hazeh Yom Kippurim Haba. It's good enough. Others have pointed out that the grammar of the Kol Nidre is all totally off, because all the Aramaic words that we say are all B'Lashon Ovar. So we say it B'Lashon Asid, and then we nobody changed the text from 1,000 years ago. So we're saying the old grammar that doesn't make any sense. That was the Gaonim's grammar. So there were some who wanted to patch around with the grammar also. They changed the Darnas to Nidarnas, the Ishtabanas to Nishtaban. Again, I'm not holding in the intricacies of Aramaic grammar to tell you which is what. There are some Balei Tefillah who have changed the entire format of the Kol Nidre in order to make it read with some degree of clarity and make sense. But most people just follow what says the Maser. Whatever it says, and yeah, it's probably what Rabbi Natan was driving at. Anyway, so the bottom line is, so we say Kol Nidre after Kol Nidre is said, so then we say a few psukim here and there, and the next important halakha thing that we say is Shech Yonu. Why do we say Shech Yonu? So the Gemara has in the end of the third paragraph of Erev in the Sufik, whether you say Shech Yonu, Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur, because even though they're Yom Tovim, but they're not really Yimei Simcha in the fullest sense of the word, so maybe you shouldn't say Shech Yonu. And the Gemara says, no, we do Vilchus, you say Shech Yonu on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So the Gemara raises a question that although Shech Yonu, Om Rafilu Bashuk, you could say Shechar in the middle of the street. You don't need a kosher yayin for Shechar Yanu. Lechatchila, you're supposed to say Shechar Yanu kosher yayin. That's what we do every Yom Tov. We say Shechar Yanu dafka and Kiddush. It's a big pella on the women that the women say Shechar Yanu when they bench lecht and Yom Tov. Lechatchila, the Gemara says you're supposed to say a kosher yayin. So why do the women say when they bench lecht? So if Yaakov Emden was so upset about this, he told all the women they have to stop. They have to stop saying Shechar Yanu when they bench lecht. They should just hear it from the husbands, Mishas Kiddush, cut out this custom of saying it when they bench lecht. So the way the story goes is that his own wife didn't listen to him. She said, no, my Bobby told me you have to say Shechar when you bench lecht. So how do you explain the Nashim Tikkanis who say when they bench lecht? So if Sternberg writes in a sefer, he thinks that the reason is based on as follows. Why do you have to say Shechanu b'shas kiddush? What's the hidul lechetchil tzel lakos? So the teretz is that the kos yayin gives chashivas to it. The same way, why would chazal masachin kiddush lakos? Why is everything lakos? Kos is always a way to give significance to something. So Sternberg tain is that the medimar mewurim, the men it's chashiv, like simple as yontif. The men like wine. You ask a woman, what's a highlight of her Yom Tov experience? You ask her, what's the most moving, most spiritual, most connecting moment of Dveikas HaKadosh Baruch Hu? She's going to tell you when she's listening to Kiddush. When she's listening to Kiddush, the kids are screaming, the food is burning, she's not paying attention to Kiddush. When she has 2 minutes of quiet with the husband left, and everyone's let her bench lech for like a human being for 30 seconds, she closes her eyes, that's when she has a moment of connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So for that moment for her, that's the most chashuv moment of Yom Tov. So that's what she says when she bench lech. It was a chassidish prat or shtur that. To explain a Litvish practice. So, that's what our women do. Some women follow Yaakov Emden's Eitza, and some women do recite Shechiyana when they hear Kiddush rather than, they answer Amen to their husband's Kiddush rather than when they bench. But most women don't do that. So, when it comes to Yom Kippur, we're all in a pickle because nobody has the opportunity to say Shechiyana when you make Kiddush because there's no Kiddush in Yom Kippur. So, what do you do? So, the Gemara Ervin is a whole discussion that we should take a cup of wine and make a bar pair often and make Shechiyana when you're not drink the wine. So, the Gemara says, you can't do that. That'll be a kiyum of Shechiyana lakos, but who's going to drink the wine? Somebody's going to drink the wine. So, the Gemara says, you give it to a katan. The Gemara says, no, that's bad chinuch. You can't give it to a katan. So, therefore, the Gemara says, we're stuck. Our hands are tied. So, we can't make bar pair often and not drink the wine. We can't give it to a katan because of bad chinuch. So, we're lazy bravers, so we don't make the wine. So, that's what we have to practice, adayeh bezeh, that we say Shechiyana and Yom Kippur, soon as konid rezovi, yom tisat. That's what we say Shechiyana. So, you have to remind the women that most of the women say Shechiyana when they bench lecht. When Yom Kippur begins. And then a lot of them make a mistake. A lot of them go ahead and they say Shechiyanu again in Shul, because it says in the Machzor. The congregation recites Shechiyanu at this point. So you have to put a line there. The congregation minus all the women who bench lech. So some of the, I think in the article, I think we have touched that up already in the later editions. So in the old Machzor, which it says, Kol HaKol Omrim V'yachad Shechiyanu. It's not true. If you didn't say Shechiyanu, then they say Shechiyanu. If you're a woman who bench lech, then you said Shechiyanu. So then you don't say Shechiyanu. There's one Shechiyanu per person, per customer, per yom. If you don't make two Shechiyanus in the same day. Fine. So then we finish Shechiyanu and we're ready to roll, ready to down Meirev. So Meirev at Yom Kippur, pretty simple, straightforward Meirev. Nothing like, the Slicha, say after Meirev, we say, you give me this a few times, a few piyutim, but in terms of pure halacha, so the Meirev is not all that different. The only time the Meirev may be a little bit different halachically, though it's not technically different, is when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos. So then there's the famous question with the Echaronim, what happened to Kiddush? That there's a mitzvah there, Eis of Kiddush. Most Rishonim say that Kiddush ala kos is only midrabbanan, in the Torah it's just Kiddush b'dvar ma'alma. So how are you yotze Kiddush? So there are some Echaronim who say, you yotze Kiddush with Avi Meirev. The Magen Avraham writes that you yotze Kiddush every Friday night with Avi Meirev. Many Echaronim disagree with that because on Friday night you don't mention it's Yitzias Mitzrayim, and the Gemara seems to say in Arab Sochem that the mentioning of Yitzias Mitzrayim is Ma'akev, so it's a Peladik of Magen Avraham. I'm not sure what to do with that Magen Avraham, but on Yom Kippur night we do mention Yitzias Mitzrayim, because in the text of the Shemoneh Esrei is Petitin Lano Shalom Zeichel Yitzias Mitzrayim. On a regular Friday night in Atik Yidashtu there's no Zeichel Yitzias Mitzrayim, but in Yom Tif, on Yom Kippur, there is Zeichel Yitzias Mitzrayim. So that's what some poskim say. You should tell everybody in Shul when Yom Kippur falls out in Shabbos, that when you have in mind to fulfill the mitzvah derais of Zochus and Shabbos. And I'll say, you don't have to announce it. I'm here to whatever my chiyav is. Whatever Chazal wanted me to do, I'm doing it. I don't have to make a whole tataram. So some shuls make a tataram. Some shuls like to make tatarams about things. Rabbi likes to make announcements. That's what we do in my shul. So I make an announcement about it. And a lot of shuls don't make the announcements. So yesh v'yesh. Anyway, so the bottom line is we daven and Yom Kippur night. Davening is pretty simple, straightforward. There's a Meirev, and then there's just playing the Yutim and the Slichas and Shoin. And then... whatever they do afterwards. Okay. So we move to the next day. So we move to Shacharis. So Shacharis starts out pretty simple, straightforward. And then all of a sudden, we also have all these piyutim, And the Rishonim start to get nervous. Wait a second, all these piyutim, it's a problem. Maariv is not a problem. It's a big rush. You daven Maariv an hour later. But Shacharis, if you keep on going too long, you're going to end up bumping into a problem, api halacha, because you're going to end up getting to Musaf too late. What's too late for Musaf? You could daven Musaf all day. The Chetchila, you're supposed to daven, begin Musaf before Shas Mincha comes. Because if it already geared the Shas Mincha Gedoyah, means a half hour after Chatzos, if you already bump into Shas Mincha, so then there's a sugi in the fourth break of brachas, what do? When you haven't done a Musaf yet, now it's a Gears by Mincha, which comes first. So we pass that Mincha comes first. Tad Vishra Tada Tada Kaidim. So it's going to be a very strange Yom Kippur. We just finished Davi Shacharis. They finished Kristar, they finished Yisker, and now it's time for Mincha. We start laying after Yonah. So then we daven Musaf afterwards. It's going to be very Madna. So the Rishonim write that we should try to avoid this confrontation. We shouldn't end up schlepping out Shacharis for too long, because lest we end up not getting to Musaf on time. Let's say by mistake we Taka didn't. So, whatever, things went too, the Yisko Pio went too long, so they schlepped the out, the Musaf went too long, and the Shacharis went too long. So many Rishonim say that you don't flip the order with Tzibur. Even though Meikra didn't, you should really daven Mincha first, but you can't drive the Tzibur crazy. It's people get so full ball, you daven Mincha before Musaf, so we do Shalakidin. So basically, we do Musaf before Mincha, even though that's not really correct at that point. So the Rishonim say the yes is ace, you should avoid the problem in the first place. The Torah quotes a fascinating story from his father, the Rush. The Rush was born in Ashkenaz. He was a German. He was a Yeki. He was a Talmud of the Maharam Rutenberg. And then Maharam Rutenberg got into a lot of trouble. The Goyim didn't like him too much, and they threw him into jail because he was defending the Jewish community, because the Goyim were having all these crazy monetary. They're trying to steal all the money from the Jews. Maharam Rutenberg went up to battle for the Jewish community, so they threw him into jail. So the Rush realized that they're going to come in. He was next. He was the next rabbi. After his rabbi was thrown to jail, he was number two. So he knew he was next on the hit list. So he skipped out. So he ran away to Spain. So he left Germany, ran away to Spain. The problem was, when he came to Spain, he needed a job, he needed a shteller. So the Rashba was the Rav in Barcelona at the time. So the Rashba found the Rush a job in Toledo. Toledo was another smaller Jewish community. Barcelona was the main Jewish community. Toledo was a little bit smaller. So the Rashba was the first, it was the YU placement office. So he placed the Rush in the other town in Toledo. He should become the chief rabbi. The problem was that it was all Spanish. They were all Spanish Jews. They had different hug and family, different, a lot of things, different duchos tefillah. So the Rush was an Ashkenazi rabbi in Sfarad. Not the first, not the last. We have it in our day. You also have Ashkenaz Rabbanim and Sfaradi Shtelos. It happens all the time. So Kachava said the Rush was an Ashkenazi. So came the Torah writes, it came the first Yom Kippur. So he noticed, someone handed him a machzor. He saw, we're not going to finish all sugas. He said the piyutim was so long. So the Ashkenazi, we shut him right. You should cut out some of the piyutim on and Shacharis. They make davening move quickly. Apparently the Sfarim didn't have that idea, so they just kept on rolling. So the Rush realized that they're never going to get the Musaf on time, so he didn't know what to do. So the Torah writes that the Rush didn't want to start up with the Balabat. They didn't want to make a fight with them. He was just coming, the new rabbi. He didn't want to start up with the Balabat. On the other hand, he felt that the din is, if they're going to miss the Zman, he's going to have to daven Mikra Din Mincha before Musaf. It's going to be very, very confusing. So the Rush, daven Musaf B'Yechidus on Yom Kippur. That's what it says. Daven Musaf B'Yechidus on Yom Kippur, rather than get into a fight with the Baal Batim. And I think the way the story goes, the Torah writes, it happened every year. It wasn't just the first year that the Rush didn't want to be Zalzal and then Damon hug him. So it's better not to be Musaf. This is not like Tuesday Mincha. This is like Musaf on Yom Kippur, rather than get into an argument with people. That was the Rush that said, Hele get Tzadik. So anyway, so they're still davening in Barcelona, Toledo, they're still davening Shacharis now. They're still going for months on end. Low Putin. So we have adopted the minhag of the Ashkenaz. We've adopted the practice of the Ashkenaz Rishonim that we're Makatzeh the Tefillah a little bit. How Makatzeh? It's pretty long. And this is the shortened version. This is the abridged version. So what do we do to cut it down? So the Rishonim quote, you should cut down some of the slichas. That the minhag used to be in the days of Gaonim, they would say, azah slichas, that beat the band in Shacharis. They would say, such long, you'd give a midas, a million times over. So the Rishonim write, you should try to cut it down a little bit. So because the Rishonim write that we should try to cut down some of the excess slichas during the Shacharis, so a strange thing happened. The different communities started to cut it down in different ways. So some communities cut out a couple of to me, some kind of few slichas, and before you knew it, by the time the Mazorim were being printed, they didn't know you know, there were so many different minhagim as to which slichas to say, which slichas not to say. So the printers decided to cut them all out. So all of a sudden, there's a big block. There's a big gap in our davening on Shacharis. We get to the point of we're about to say slichos. We finish Yalav Yavo, and that's where the natural place to begin saying slichos is. And all of a sudden, we say Zechor Lod Brisovos. Zechor Brisovos. So what happened to the slichos? We just cut out the whole slichos. So that's what the later place came out. Oh, you read the fact that there's something missing here. That everybody agrees you're supposed to say some slichos in Shacharis. The question is how many? So some communities cut out some communities cut out others, but the lock stack about the whole slichos out the window. So that's a big pella. Of course, we'll say slichos on Shacharis. We said slichos in Mayrim, we say slichos in Ila, so why should we say slichos in Shacharis? So that's why in the later year, so different communities have kind of brought back Chadish Mekiyev, they brought back them slichos. So anyone who's ever davened in Yeshiva knows they say a few assorted slichos for Shacharis. So in our shul, we do the same thing. Different shuls have different minhagim. Some shuls have different slichos, other slichos, Paroi has its own set of slichos. So in our shul, we follow the YU slichos. Why? Because when we started the shul, so I was able to get my hands on the YU slichos. I made 300 copies of the YU slichos. It was easy to print. So that became the minhag in our Torah. So we say the same couple of 3-4 slichos that YU says at Shacharis. And then the same problem happens, most of the same problems happen in the mincha. That because they chopped it out of Shacharis, so the printers never bothered putting it back in milmos, it got lost in most of the mincha also. Look, how many doesn't make any sense? Why did you take it out of Muslim Mincha? So the same people put it in Shacharis, put it in Muslim Mincha. So that's what many shuls have today, that there is a little bit of a shortened version of a slichos that's stuck back into the davening at Shacharis, Muslim Mincha. And those who follow the old style Machzairim from Europe, so they don't say any slichos at all, which is, again, a differentiation. Anyway, back to the story. So we finished davening Shacharis and Yom Kippur, and then we have a Kristar. Kristar is pretty straightforward. Kristar, 6 aliyahs, the Gemara says. Gemara says there are 6 aliyahs in Yom Kippur, not 7, because 7, because Shabbos is more Kaddish than Yom Kippur. That the degree of Kiddush is higher. The Gemara is a machlokes at Tanoim, whether there are 7 aliyahs on Yom Kippur. The Gemara says that if you hold there are only 6 aliyahs, that's to highlight the fact that Shabbos is on a higher level. The higher Kiddush Sayyom, the more aliyah b'tar you get. Once somebody, there was once a fellow who was, he was in the process, because he was almost from already. He was a big jogger, a big runner. He was always training for marathons all over the world. Every other day he was running. So he once came 2 years ago and he asked me, he said that, I think Yom Kippur was like on a Thursday that year, and he said that he cannot miss Thursday the way his running schedule was. He's got to go jogging either on Thursday Yom Kippur or on Shabbos. He has no choice. One of the two he's got to jog. So he asked me, Rabbi, which is the better one that I should jog on? So I told him it's better he should jog on Yom Kippur than on Shabbos. I said, are you going to have to drink if you jog? He's not going to have to drink. Betty should jog on Yom Kippur than Shabbos. Why? Because the Gemara says that Shabbos is more Kaddish. There's 7 aliyahs. So you have to mechal Yom Kippur Shabbos. Better to mechal Yom Kippur than to mechal Shabbos. No. I didn't say it was Chol Shabbos. I'm just saying that in the Haruch. Also, I was trying to get across the message to him. I wanted to highlight to him how Chosh of Shabbos was. If I'll tell him not to jog in Yom Kippur, say, oh yeah, because Yom Kippur is a special, Shabbos not so special. So I wanted he should learn a Kavach Chomer that Shabbos is more Chomer than Yom Kippur. Maybe it'll help him down the line in his Chinuch. Yeah. So back to the story. So after Shacharis, so then the minig is those who will say Yizkor, so recite Yizkor at that point. So where did this come from? So Yizkor, what's that all about? So the Rishonim quote that the Mordechai quotes that it says Ki Yom Kippur Hu L'Chaper Aleich B'Shem L'Keichem. Yom Kippur is Blushin Rabbin. We call it colloquially Yom Kippur, but in Halach it's Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur, the Chazal say that's B'Chaper both for the Chaim and for the Mason. That somehow Yom Kippur is a mechaper for Mesim also. What that means, we don't know. The Gemara says in Zvachim, in Kabar LeMesim, a guy sets aside a korb and then he dies. A korban chatas, you don't bring it. There's no kapar for a mes. But somehow Yom Kippur breaks all the rules. Yom Kippur is mechaper even for the Mesim. So we want to highlight that. So we say Yiska, that should be a kapar. That should be a limit chos for the Mesim even in Yom Kippur as well. Why they say Yiska? Another Yom Tov is different reasons, but the Yiska in Yom Kippur is unique to this Maimar Chazal, that Yom Kippur is mechaper bein for the Chayim, bein for the Mesim. The Musaf of Yom Kippur, that's already loaded. Besides all the Piyutim and all the Slichas, all that stuff, that's loaded because that's something that we recite the Avodah. So that's the Gemara Maseches Yuma says he's supposed to recite the Avodah during the Musaf of Chazas Hashat of Yom Kippur. There are different minhagim, what the text of the Avodah are. Everyone agrees, you say the basic Avodah Sayyom, whether you introduce it with this poem, that poem, Matur Granta, Amitz Koyach, you know, there are different minhagim about that. There's five of different poems, but everyone basically says it's the same Avodah Sayyom, whether you have a poem X, Y, or Z. So there are a few interesting things in Lomdus, in the Avodas Hayom, that there are a few things, in Amit Koach, the one that Nisach Ashkenaz says, that are a little bit shalak yadin. There are a few things that are not 100% correct, not 100% accurate in the Amit Koach. Already the Chayodom writes in his Sefer, he collects all the emendations, all the things that he thinks got saflogin in the Avoda, and he thinks that Mishal Parm Sosem, Im Karaspo, you already saying you should have to say it right. So one of the things that got chopped out of the Avoda was the Kachay Amones. The Mishnah says in Besech Yuba that there were four times when the Kachay would Kachay Amone, when he sprinkled the dam of the par on the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then when he sprinkled the dam of the Sar on the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then when he did the par again on the Heichol, on the Paroiches, and then when he did the Nochamol, the Sar of the Paroiches. So each one he said, Kachay Amone. So in the Machzorim, somehow two out of those four got chopped out. Why? Because in the Mishnayos it says B'chuli, because it's the same thing, so it just said B'chuli. So the printers didn't know what that meant, so they just chopped it out. So they said two out of the four got lost in space. So the Chayodim writes, you're supposed to repeat them in. You're to say them also. That's why many communities today put them in. So again, those people follow just what it says exactly in the Machzor, that's it. They don't want to hear from Chayodim's Chidushim. So they just say what it says in the Machzor. They say it only two times. But those who correctly add what the Halachli was supposed to be done, so they say B'kachay Amoyne four times. There's another, Chayodim points out, there's another mistake in the Avoda, that it has some of the Mataras Adam, Shalok Yisedir, that after the Kohen Gadol finished his Rikas B'fnai B'fnim, the Kohen Kedoshim, then on the Paroches, then he goes to the Mizbech Hazov, and Mizbech Hazov, so it says, V'iza Allah min Adam B'yatsvoda, it says, Pasuk. So first he does the Kronos, and then he does Al Tarash HaMizbeach. Then he throws the rest of the dam, then he throws again on the Tarash HaMizbeach. So in the poem, it's out of order. Why is it out of order? Because it doesn't rhyme the other way. So the poem, the poet, the Python switched it around a little bit. So Chayyim said you should make an emendation. So in our shul, we put in the word Achash of a Kron of Arba. So you say V'tir al tir mizbeach, Zarach al tir mizbeach, Achash of a Kron of Arba. So you keep the poetic license, and you just add in the word Achar to make it correct. He has one or two other of these kinds of things. So all these poems, all this piyutim, they all assume that there were payasos. They all describe the different payasos, the four different, drawing a lot to the different avodas. So that's what the Baal Mor in the beginning of Masechet Yuma says, that all the paytanim were wrong. He said there were no payasos in Yom Kippur. Everything was done by the Kohen Gadol. He says all the payasos were only on the regular days of the year. On Yom Kippur there was no payas b'chlal. The Kohen Gadol did mitchilah v'atzoif. So all the Baal Mor says that one fell swoop, all the paytanim were all wrong. So the Ramban says none of them knew how to learn. They were great tabinachom, the ones who wrote the poems. They weren't just dumb guys writing poems. They were great rishonim, goyim who wrote the different piyutim. So the Ramban goes to Kishahol Shtikl Torah and Beginim Esach HaZiyubah to show you that even in Yom Kippur there was some payosos, that to some degree, not exactly the regular payosos, but there was some degree of payosos on the lotteries, even during Yom Kippur itself. So it was a fascinating machlokes, the very beginning of Esach HaZiyubah, when one fell swoop, the Baal Mor says everything is wrong, and the Ramban says, no, there's still a lot of truth to the Avodah. So the bottom line is we say the text of the Avodah didn't show you, that's what we do. After Musaf is over, then take a break. Then if you have enough time, take a break. Then we dive in Mincha. So Mincha is unique that we lay in Yom Kippur. So there's a special defense to laying dafka at Yom Kippur Mincha. So there is a famous suffix in Rabbi Kiveger. What's the nature of that Kriyas HaTorah of Yom Kippur Mincha? What is that? What kind of takon is that? So is that a Kriyas HaTorah of Kedushas HaYom? That means like the same way you lay in every other Yom Tiv. So here, for some reason, Chazal, they wanted us to learn Parshas Arayos, because it was important for them, we should learn Parshas Arayos on Yom Kippur. So they're besak, and a special Kriyas HaTorah of Parshas Arayos, Mishum Kedushas HaYom of Mincha. Although I say no, that the laning on Yom Kippur is basically a Tanis Tzibur Dika laning, the same way we're laning any other Tanis Tzibur. So other Tanis Tzibur we lay in Be'echal. We did in the Gemara, you lay in Brachas Klos, whatever, different Minhagim, what to lay. And Yom Kippur is a Masach at the lane, the Arayas, but it's basically a Tanis Tzibur Dika Lukristo, a man of Kamina. So Kvegas is a Chapsa of Kamina. Can you give an aliyah to a guy who's not fasting? Let's say a guy's sick. So a guy's a Chodeshish Briskon, but he's still in Shul, but he's taking his meds, he's taking his whatever, he's drinking, whatever he's doing, he's not fasting in Yom Kippur. So normally we assume that you can't give an aliyah a Tanis Tzibur to someone who is not fasting. So Kveg is not sure. He says Shachris, you can give a guy an aliyah on Yom Kippur, even if he's not fasting, because that's the Kedush Hayom. That's like no different than any other Yom Tov. So you can give him that's nothing to do with the fasting. But the Mincha, Kveg is not sure. Maybe the Kriyas HaTorah of Mincha is more of a Tanis Tzibur Dika Mincha. There's a word from the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav said that if somebody is not supposed to be fasting, the doctor said not to fast, and he's fasting anyway, so he said, you're not allowed to give him an aliyah on a Tainas Tzibur. Even though he's fasting. Why? Because that's not fasting. Fasting means when the halacha requires you to fast. Halom de shavuot and fasting. Says the Brisker Rav, a guy who's just not eating. He's not eating, but he's not fasting. He's not called a mesana. You have to be mechuyiv in order to be mesana. Halom de shavuot, according to the Brisker Rav. Anyway. Fine, so we finished Avi Minchas, and then we move into an Ila. So an Ila, the Gemara has in the end of Masechet Yuma, it was a big machlokes about when is the time to daven Ila. Is the Ila Tfilas Hayom or Tfilas Laila? Is it basically the last Tfilah of Yom Kippur, or is it really the Tfilah Hashem Otzei Yom Kippur? So the Gemara concludes that the Yerushalmi concludes that we ask him that it's a Tfilas Hayom, and that's the reason why we duchen, we ikra din. In Chutz Laaretz, most of us don't duchen in the Ila, but we ikra din is supposed to duchen in the Ila, and there are so many people, communities duchen in the Ila. Because normally the Rishama says you don't duchen at night, so that's a riot, that it's basically Tfilas Hayom. That was the taina that then he had against the Maharil. The Maharil writes that by the Yekis they duchen at Ne'ilah, even in Chutz La'aretz they duchen by Ne'ilah, and they duchen even though it's way after Shkia, then it's an hour after Shkia, and they're still duchening. So the Maharil somehow sanctioned that minhag, so the Pesukim can point out it's a very, very difficult Maharil. Chazal don't seem to say that. Yerushalmi didn't say that. Maybe it's machlokes. I don't know. But most Pesukim say you really shouldn't be duchening after Shkia. That's why in Eretz Yisrael they rush up the Ilah. They try to get to the Birchas Kohanim before Shkia in order to make sure that you duchen. Then the problem is, what do you do from then on? So you have to shlep sech Avin Makenu. You just say Avin Makenu, say Alang Atelum, say something to keep the stall till the day is over. So the Zman of Ne'ilah is a tricky one. So the way we time Ne'ilah in Chutz La'aretz, we don't really care about that. We're not duchening anyway. So the way we time Ne'ilah is we for sure want to finish the Sa'an Shemen Esed before Shkia, and we want to get well into Chazos HaShatz also before Shkia for a totally different reason, because one of the piyutim in the Il is Hashem Shevov Yifne. So we say that the sun is about to set. So the Shavur quotes in the Echaronim, you can't say that the sun already set. It's a little bit of a sheker. So that's what the Shavur says. You should try very hard to get the Chaparayin to that line in the Nila, which is shortly after Kedusha. Try to get to that point. Then by then you can time it properly. You got to go another 30-40 minutes to go till you finish up the davening. So the Maisa we paskin that Zman Ne'ilah is by Yom, not by Laila. That's why the Rush writes that the Gemara says in the end of Masechet Yuma that if you daven Ne'ilah, you don't really have to daven Shemoneh Esrei for Ma'ariv Motzei Yom Kippur, because the Ne'ilah poteres Shel Arvus. So the Rush writes that we don't pass like that. That's only according to the Man Yomar that Zman Ne'ilah is by Laila. So it's the same Zman. So then what do you have to daven Shemoneh Esrei for? So you have to say with one. But we pask it as Mani Ilah's Bayom, so therefore, how is that going to pat the Meir? So, of course, you have to have a Meir on Mitzvah Yom Kippur. Then at the end of the Ilah, so there's an age old practice to blow shofar, and we have no idea where that comes from, where that minute comes from. So, Taisus writes that they heard the name, I think, of Haigon, who said that it's supposed to be Zechel Yovel, that Yom Kippur Shal Yovel, they blew shofar on Yom Kippur itself, we're not going to blow on Yom Kippur, you're not supposed to do Malacha, that's going to blow shofar on Yom Kippur. So, a minute Yisrael came to blow it on Mitzvah Yom Kippur, the Zechel Yovel. So, Taisus writes, if that's true, we should do it once every 50 years. Why are we doing it every year? So I'm not sure why we're doing it. So different Rishonim have different reasons. Some say it's just to announce the Yom Kippur is over. Some say it's to love the Shechina back. Different Rishonim have different nuances to wipe. So it's like the most emotional moment of the... It's very, very funny. Both the beginning of the Ilah and the end of the Ilah begin with these very, very emotional highs, which nobody really understands what they're about up here. Aloha, Kol Nidre and Tkei Shofar. Kol Nidre, we have no idea what it is, and Tkei Shofar, we have no idea what it is. And yet somehow, if you ask an average person, when does Yom Kippur start? It starts with Kol Nidre and ends with Tkei Shofar. Neither of them is right. But somehow, Klal Yisrael have adopted that these are the dramatic moments. And Olam HaYoinim, Kol Nidre and Tkei Shofar have been merited for some strange reason to become the bookends of Yom Kippur. Anyway, you have to Yom Kippur Zov, you got to make Avdallah, and you have to make a Bormer Eish. The Gemara says in Pesachim that the Bormer Eish of Motzei Yom Kippur is different than Motzei Shabbos, because it's not commemorating the creation of light. Fire was created on Motzei Shabbos. It's to simply thank HaKadosh Baruch for giving us fire back again to be able to do it. We couldn't use it for 24 hours, now we can use it. That's what the Gemara says, you have to have a Ner Sheshavah. So it has to be a candle that was around on Yom Kippur that was off limits. So you have to find your site, some kind of a candle, something that was floating or that was still lit the whole time. If you can't find a candle that was lit, that's a big problem. Then you may not be able to say it unless it's Motzei Shabbos. If it's a Shabbos, if we can't find a Ner Sheshavah, you can make on a regular one, no worse than any other Motzei Shabbos. Okay, so I think we pretty much finished Yom Kippur just in time for Hanukkah. Hopefully, next week we'll try to start some Hilchos Hanukkah. Thank you.